could be put in jail for 5 years, but it's amazing what Christ can do, isn't it? Sure is. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're starting a new series tonight, and we're going to go for several weeks. Thank God for our pastor who allows the associate pastor to preach every now and then. I'm going to try to do more teaching through these series. And really kind of goes hand in hand what you've heard from Brother Joel and talking about salvation. And we're going to study soteriology is the Greek term of the study of salvation. But basically that's all it is. It's the study of salvation. And some may say, well, why do we need to study that? I'm saved. I think when we get saved, we don't understand all the facets of salvation. Obviously, we don't know everything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully, this will help us in that area. But I'm also going to cover several other areas that that have been a hot topic over the years, and in this church even here of recently. What is repentance? Is repentance a part of salvation? Is it not? What is election? What is predestination? What are those things? We're going to cover all of that as we study this. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight, then we'll get started. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. And God, please help me tonight as I, Lord, just try to relay truth to your people. Lord, would you speak through me tonight? Lord, I totally yield myself to you, to your word, to your Holy Spirit tonight. And ask God that you'd use me for these next few moments. God, I pray that you give us understanding as hearers. And God, we are ever thankful for our missionaries tonight. God, Lord, we could never repay them. But Lord, we know that you're keeping record tonight. And we ask that you bless them, Lord, and pray that you put a hedge about them. Keep them safe as they travel here in the States. And Lord, we know that you want to get them back to Nepal as quick as possible. And Lord, again, thank you for them tonight. Bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, and if you look up here, you'll see this is what I got done you for Christmas. Maybe not. But as you look at a diamond, we know what a diamond looks like. But as you look at a diamond, it's multifaceted. So in the same ways with salvation, you can look at it from different ways and see different things. Not that salvation changes. We all know that salvation is, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. We know that. But there is really two aspects of salvation. There's Godward and manward. And so we're going to cover those here in hopefully or in the next few weeks. And hopefully it'll become, you know, a little more evident to you. But I want you to look, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. It says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of the gladness above fellows. And he says, it goes on down, talks about verse 10. And thou, he says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid a foundation of the earth and the heavens, the works of thy hands. They shall perish, wax old. Am I the right? Yeah, I'm getting there. I think I wrote the wrong verse down. Anyway, it's somewhere in here. I think I started too late. Anyway, it's in the scripture somewhere. Don't you hate when you're at, oh, there we go. It's in chapter 2. I wrote chapter 1 down. It's chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 9 makes a whole lot more sense. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. What does that mean? That means in his coming to this earth, he was born as a man. He was made a little lower than the angels. Why? Because he didn't want to die for the angels. He wanted to die for man, and he had to be, as the Bible says, he put on flesh and became man and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory and all that. But here, notice what it says, little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. We're going to go over that a lot later. But I want to tell you, I believe in a whosoever God. I believe in a whosoever God, and I know you do too, and we're going to look and see why we believe that later on. Verse 10 says, for it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And verse 11 says, for both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are of one, which for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, I want you to go back and read verse 3 with me. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? which was first began by to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them by them that heard it. By the way, it is a great salvation, isn't it? And so as we look at this, I want you to think about salvation. Now, and you can a lot of scripture I'm going to give you tonight, and you can write them down and read them later. But most of you know Psalm 51 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." The important part of that scripture is one word, thy. A lot of people quote that scripture. Ever heard it quoted? Lord, return unto me the joy of my salvation. It's not yours. It's His. By the way, I believe this also. I believe that salvation is not in a possession, but in a person. Salvation is Jesus Christ. That's why you can't lose your salvation. We'll talk about that also later. But salvation is Jesus Christ, and it is in a person and not in a possession. So let's look at a few things tonight. Let's ask the question, what is salvation? Someone said this, and I think it's one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard. Salvation is the sum of all the works of Christ given to us by grace. Let me read that again. Salvation is the sum of all the works of Christ given to us by grace. All that Christ did is what salvation is. In other words, 613 laws of the Old Testament were fulfilled by Him. We understand that He fulfilled all the Old Testament. He fulfilled all that was required of a sacrifice. But one thing He did that was different, that He made one sacrifice once and for all. Aren't you glad for that? I was raised in a church where if you committed a sin big enough, you had to get saved again. There's sometimes I wish Baptists believed that. Maybe they'd act better. Hello? Right? You know, you teach your kids work salvation until they get older, right? I'm kidding. I'm really kidding about that. But what is salvation? Well, salvation is a choice. In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, now we got to think of this backwards because Adam and Eve started out perfect. All right, so we're using backward theology, which I use a lot. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, if and of course I don't want to get on election and all this, but if it was all about election, then why would God put the tree of good and evil in the garden? Hello? Why would He allow anybody to fall? But He did put it there. Why? Because He gave them a choice. Even in a perfect environment, the Lord Jesus gave them a choice, and they chose to sin. They chose to sin. But also, I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 7, or chapter 6 and 7, is that there's another choice given. Remember when Noah began to build the ark, the Bible says in the New Testament that he was a preacher of righteousness. How is he a preacher? When he was building that ark, he was preaching a sermon. That there's only one way to escape the coming wrath of God. And that is to get into the ark. And guess what? People had a choice, but they chose not to get into the ark. By the way, I guarantee you this. If there would have been anybody come up to Noah and said, "Can we get in there?" Noah would have said, "Please. I've been preaching that there's coming a storm, that there's coming something that you've never seen before. Get in the ark." And so salvation is a choice. But salvation is also by sacrifice. By the way, Jesus had to die. Physically, He had to die. He had, as the Bible says, had to taste death for all men. Is that He had to die. There had to be a sacrifice. The Old Testament tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 predominantly that it's not by the... chapter 9 talks about that it's not by the blood of bulls and goats but and all these things, but it's by His blood. And Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that He sacrificed once and for all. Isn't that good news? How would you like to have to go to the temple? And how would you every year have to... make sure that the Lord accepted that sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. And the agony that you had to wait and make sure that God was going to accept that. Salvation is made by a sacrifice. I want you to notice the second thing is salvation is the central theme of God's Word, isn't it? By the way, all the way from Genesis, when we get into Genesis chapter 3 and we see the fall of man, we see God make them a sacrifice. We see a sacrifice and we see God clothing them because He loved them. I like it too because really Genesis is a great book, and it really, that's the law of first mention. If you study that, is that man tried to cover up their own sin by the fig leaves. And guess what? God said, you're still naked. You have to be clothed my way. By the way, man's way of salvation will never work. Man's way of salvation says I have to earn it. Man's way of salvation says I have to get in that baptistry. Man's way of salvation says you have to spend some prayer wheel and beads or whatever the other case may be. Some religions say you need to blow up a building and kill people. But I'm telling you, there's only one way, and it's by sacrifice. But it's also the central theme of the Bible. Through Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, we see that salvation is the theme of the Bible. Somebody said, if you cut the Bible anywhere, it'll bleed Christ. And it will. The next thing, we see that salvation is the need of all men. Everyone needs to be saved. There's many of us here today that have loved ones that are lost. By the way, it's not just for the bad people. Do you ever hear that? You ever hear, boy, they're really bad, they need Jesus. We're all on the same level when we're lost. There's no tier of, like, he committed murder, so he's worse than I am. Not in God's eyes. In God's eyes, we are, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're all on the same level when we're born into this world, whether you commit murder or whether you do whatever. By the way, Hitler was just the same as all of us. Charles Manson was just on the same level as all of us, that he's lost and in need of a Savior. And so as we see this, that salvation is the need of all men. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 19 tells us this. Now, I want you to notice the next thing. If it goes. Maybe not. You may have to click it for me, brother. I don't know where it went to. Did I turn it off? Nope, there it goes. I probably skipped a few. Nope, there it is. Salvation is being saved. And I know it sounds weird, but let me click the next one. From the wrath of God. See, a lot of people think this, that I am saved from hell. That is true to some extent. But after you get saved and you study the Bible, you need to take that to a different level. What is hell for? Is hell there just so, and Pastor used this illustration, so God can beat his chest and laugh as people are going? No, it's not. That is the wrath of God. And we know that the ultimate wrath of God is when death and hell are raised up and cast into the lake of fire. Is that when we look at what we're being saved from, we're saved from the wrath of God. You say, how bad is the wrath of God? You don't want to find out. See, when Jesus was on the cross, only because he was God could he take all of the wrath of God. Listen, I always say this, one thimble of God's wrath would flick you out into eternity like that. But if you're saved today, you're saved from that wrath of God. And that's what John chapter 3 and verse 36 tells us that. Here it is. He says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth in him. So you have to think about that backwards. That if you're lost, the wrath of God abides in you. I don't want that in my life. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, the wrath of God was taken from my life. The next thing, we're saved to God through Jesus Christ. Salvation is being saved to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ bridged the gap between man and God. You've seen the pictures before, and I was going to put them on here, but it takes too much for my wife to do it. I'm going to let her do all that. But you've seen the two cliffs on each side and the cross in the middle, bridging the gap. That's what Jesus did for us. Is that Jesus, through Jesus Christ, reunited us to God. Whew. By the way, the door can never be closed. Thank God for that. So we're saved from the wrath of God. We're saved to God through Jesus Christ. But what is the means of salvation tonight? And I'm trying not to go too fast, but I know we're short on time. But I want to get this in. Is that, let me ask you this question. How does salvation take place? Now we know that we say, well, it takes place because God allows it to, right? But let's look at this real quick, if you will. It takes place because of the gospel, or the Word of God. We see that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Peter and James chapter 1 verse 18 tells us that through the gospel, that's how that the salvation, how does it take place, is through the Word of God. By the way, I believe this. I believe if the right song is sung, if there's enough gospel in it, you can get saved. I believe that. And by the way, that's why you are listening to good music. Fill your homes with that and your life with that. Matter of fact, we sang Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It. There's enough gospel in that song that you should understand that Jesus Christ is the way, truth, and life. And as we think about the Word of God, by the way, the Bible says this, is that Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, you know this verse, but listen to it again. It is. It's not one of the ways. It is the power of God unto salvation. Let me read it again. Romans 1:16. Write it down. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel equals salvation. The gospel is the means of salvation. By the way, the rest of that verse is pretty good too. It says, to everyone that believeth. I'm glad my Bible didn't say to the elect. I always say to the Calvinistic people, to those who believe in election, is that if I believed in election, I would not be at church tonight. You know why I wouldn't? Because I'm elected. And if I'm elected to be saved, then I'm elected to be like Christ. So why not just stay home? Might as well. Been elected. You know? Well, the next thing. I got to get going. All right, the next thing, what is the means of salvation? How does salvation take place? Well, illumination of sin. The illuminate, in other words, here's what happens, is that when we hear the Word of God, when we hear the gospel, what happens is that it shines a light on our life. You remember where you were before you were saved? The Bible says you were in darkness. You know how ugly you are in darkness? It's not too bad, is it? The fatter I get, the more I like darkness, especially around mirrors, right? You know, and I was thinking, man, you know, you turn the lights off in here, all of us look pretty good. But it's when you turn on the light, it's when God shines that light on your dark. And by the way, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, it talks about that He hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel shine unto them. And I'm glad that one day, even though I was living in darkness and born into darkness, that the glorious light of the gospel shined into my life as a 16-year-old boy and showed me that I was filthy, that my righteousness was as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By the way, there's none good, no, not one. And when the light of God's Word is, if we look into that mirror of God's Word and it shows us what we are. I've used this illustration 100 times, I'm going to use it again. In my closet, I have a shelf that has my white shirts on it. And my wife went and bought me some new white shirts. Been a while. And she washed them, she put them in there, and I had a stack of new ones on top of my old ones. And I about lost my lunch. That my old white shirts were no longer white shirts. I just didn't realize it because I had nothing to compare them to. But once I compared them to the new ones and realized how filthy those other ones were, guess where they ended up? In the trash can, right? And see, what happens in life, and listen, we live in a world of darkness. We live in a world of such wickedness today. And listen, here's the problem with our world. How can somebody abort a baby? They're blinded and they're living in sin. How could somebody give birth to a baby and put it in a flower pot, as this just happened a couple weeks ago, and leave it to die? Because they're in darkness, Satan has them blinded. But when the Word of God and the gospel shines into their life, and that's why you see a lot of people, and listen, I've been in church a long time, and some of you have too. You've seen those sinners come in, and they either get right or they get mad and leave. You know why? When they hear the preaching of God's Word. I had one time I was just fixing to start preaching, and a man come off the street, sat down in the back pew, and man, I mean, you could just see it on him. I started preaching, and man, he got uncomfortable. pretty soon he got up and he left. One of our guys called him before he left and he said, "I don't feel right anymore." Well, you don't want to know why? It was the Word of God. It's not the preacher. It's the Word of God. That light began to shine in his life and he rejected that light. Remember when Jesus said that he came to his own received him not? You know why? Because his people were living in darkness. He came as what? I am the light of the world. Pastor's been preaching on this. I am the light of the world. That Jesus said, I am the Word, but also I am the light of the world. And when he shines his Word and gospel into life, I got to keep going. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. See, when you get illuminated, when that flashlight shines on your life of the Word of God, you know what should happen next? It's conviction. God in the third person comes and goes, you're filthy. You're not saved. And he begins to prod that old heart. I give this story a lot, but I sat in the back about where Brother Ivy is. As a 16-year-old boy, I was there because there was a girl there at church. She went to church, so the only way I could ever see her was to go to church. Sound like a great idea to me. I can't tell you who it is. I'm not on the wall or not. So I was back there. I got saved and got smart. But I was back there and I remember that preacher preaching. I remember all of a sudden in the middle, it was a revival meeting. And I remember the preacher preaching. And all of a sudden it was like everybody in that congregation left but me and that preacher. And man, I just felt like he was just preaching to me. And all of a sudden my heart went. And I realized that I was a sinner. I gripped that pew as hard as I could, and he gave that invitation. He was pleading with sinners. There was only like 30 of us there. I knew who he was talking to. He just didn't know who he was talking to. But God got a hold of my heart, and I came down. Why? Because that conviction was so strong in my life, and I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Holy Spirit convicts us. You can read John chapter 16. Understanding, listen, you know this, but I'm just reiterating things you already know. Understanding that Jesus Christ is the only way to be forgiven. Believe that he died and rose again on the third day. Listen, he is the only way. We know that, don't we? He is the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. Look at the next thing. By accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, by faith. That's the means of salvation. That's the last thing. Is that you've been illuminated by the Word of God. Then the next thing is conviction sets in. And guess what? You accept Jesus Christ. Why? Because now you realize what a filthy, rotten sinner you are. And that you're in need of a Savior. And you accept Him by faith. Through grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. What does salvation cover? Cover these super quickly and we'll be done tonight. But I want you to notice this. I know Miss Elizabeth here, and I don't see Brother Calvin, but insurance, when you have insurance, you ever notice one thing? Whatever happens to you, it doesn't cover. Oh, we don't cover it. Now, Miss Elizabeth does. But I remember as a kid, we had a little flood damage. Well, guess what? You didn't have the flood policy. Well, shouldn't it cover everything? You know, it's kind of like I have dental insurance at one point in my life, very shortly. And I went in there and I said, hey, I want to use that. I need a root canal. Oh, we don't cover root canals. Well, what do y'all cover? Basically, the cheapest things, we can do a free cleaning for you. Like, well, sure, why not do that? You know, and that's when I went in there and said, you got a pair of pliers? Pull this baby out. And that's what we did. They said, well, the anesthetic's going to cost a little bit. I said, knock me over the head with a hammer if you have to. I don't care. But right? But I want to tell you what does salvation cover? It covers everything. It covers your life. Now, I want you to notice this, that it covers the past penalty of your sin. What was that? Remember, we talked about being saved from the wrath of God. We're saved from the wrath of God, that penalty that was put on us. It is wiped away. We enjoy the forgiveness of sin today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 tells us we enjoy that forgiveness. Then we are saved from the present power of sin. Listen, you don't have to sin. Hello? We do, but you have everything in your toolbox. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the people of God. We have that ability, but guess what? We can enjoy fellowship with God. Because why? We don't have to have sin in our life anymore. Now, do we sin? Sure we do. And what should we do when we sin, class? Ask for forgiveness immediately and confess that sin before Him. We're saved from future presence of sin. Listen, one day we are going to enter into the joys of heaven. No sin at all. Can you imagine that? No sin. The salvation of Jesus Christ has you covered and makes you complete. Aren't you glad of that? that He has you covered. Listen, there's no loopholes. You're not going to get to heaven and you go, ooh, I forgot to tell you about that one little sin. By the way, He tells us about that one little sin in the Scripture. It's called rejecting Jesus Christ. That's the sin that will carry you right into eternity, rejecting what Jesus has done on the cross for you. As we begin to study this, and I know I kind of went fast tonight, but I want to remind you that salvation was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the requirements of a true sacrifice. But not only that, He's our high priest. In other words, He's ever interceding for us. He's standing at the right hand of God on high, and He's interceding for us. By the way, the Bible even tells us that He's praying for us. Tonight, I just want to just remind you of your salvation, how great a salvation that we neglect, so great a salvation. It is a wonderful thing to be saved tonight. We may have all the problems of the world, but if we're saved, we have someone who lives in us and who will help us. No matter what you're going through tonight, listen, if you're saved, you ought to say, amen, hallelujah, praise God for that. Because I'm telling you, if you go into eternity, it's going to be a lot better than if you're lost. Tonight, I know we just kind of just done just kind of an introductory lesson into the study of salvation. But there is so much to salvation. And listen, all this stuff I'm telling you don't have to know all this stuff to get saved. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you is that there's some basic things you need to know. But once you get saved, you ought to study salvation. You know, it's kind of like we get cars sometimes. I heard a preacher preach on this one time. He said he bought a brand new car. He said he drove it, didn't know how to operate nothing in it. Hello? He said one day his wife went in shopping. She said, do you want to go with me or want to just sit in here? He's like, you gave me an option, I'll sit in here. He said he got bored. Said he going through, opened up the glove box, and he said he pulled out the owner's manual. And he said he read the owner's manual. He said he had time to read it several times. But he said by the time my wife got out there, he said, honey, did you know the car would do this? And that it would do this? And that it would do this? And this? Even though he owned that car, even though that was his car, even though he had been driving that car, he didn't understand everything about that car. And sometimes just being saved is hallelujah. But I think we will appreciate our Savior more the more we understand what He did for us. I'll just stand tonight. We're going to have a moment of invitation, Bill Leper, if you'll mind. And I want you to do this tonight. Why don't we come, or there at your pew, just pray for somebody you know who is lost. And let's beg God to save them. As we understand salvation more, we're able to explain it to others more. And let's pray. I have a father who is lost. I pray for my father faithfully for 25 years. You say, you giving up? Oh, no. I feel like I'm just getting started. And I know I have a God that is able. I just have to go before Him and ask Him, God, would you save my father? And just say, Lord, give us, open up doors. And God's done some amazing things in my dad's life. But maybe you know somebody that needs to be saved. Let's carry that to the altar tonight. I'm going to pray and then we'll have a moment of invitation. Father, we love You. Thank You for the night. God, thank You for so great a salvation that You've given us. Lord, I pray that You would return in us the joy of Thy salvation. Lord, help us to enjoy Your salvation. Lord, help us tonight to see truly what Your Son did on the cross for us, what He went through to give us an eternal salvation. God, tonight we do lift up those who are lost, Lord, that have been on our prayer list. And Lord, I know each family here has somebody that they know that's lost. Lord, through this series, would You give us a burden for them to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Lord, just like in Nepal, Lord, the way it works there is the same way it works here, Lord. The God that they're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that You'd help us as we go through this series. And Lord, most of all tonight, I pray if there's anybody here tonight that has never trusted Jesus Christ, their Savior, that, Lord, that they come to a saving knowledge of Your Son. And Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing.